15 and in 2 Timothy 2. 2 Timothy numero dos. Okie dokie, let's go ahead and pray. Lord, I do thank you for our time together, and I pray that it help us to seek your approval in our beliefs and our agreements with thee, and that we would be faithful and consistent and sound in our beliefs, that there would nothing we have to be ashamed of regarding our beliefs. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, so a while back I started going through the idea of how to read the Bible, and so prayerfully, sincerely, literally, yet honestly, because there are times the Bible does use figurative speeches, then personally, yet doctrinally, and so this would be the third and last one on dispensationally, and how to read the Bible dispensationally, and I don't even know if I've mentioned 2 Timothy 2:15 yet, so now we're going to hit it. Okay, and so this is Paul's advice to Timothy. He's a young fellow he led to the Lord. He became a Bible teacher, a pastor, and so he's shown him the proper techniques of understanding the Bible, because it covers thousands of years. You're dealing with different people, different cultures, different places, different times. And so he says, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, and then rightly dividing the word of truth. Now, you can learn a lot from the opposition on this idea. Somebody that opposes this idea, the new Bibles take the word study out, so it's gone, and the word dividing, in most of them, it's gone. Okay, in most of them, it's gone. Now, to define the word dividing, we go back to its first occurrence in Joshua. It's kind of funny. It's found in Joshua. Joshua 19, this is when Israel got rid of the illegal aliens out of the land of Canaan, and they came in, ICE, that stands for Israel Customs Enforcement, and so they're booting them out in Israel, and now after they got them out as best they could, then they divided the land up in 12 different sections, different lots. So in Joshua 19, verse 49, the word dividing, as in rightly dividing, the word dividing is found seven times in the Bible. These are the first two occurrences, and so it gives us a definition. So he says, when they had made an end of dividing the land for inheritance by their coast, the children of Israel gave an inheritance to Joshua, the son of Nun, among them. According to the word of the Lord, they gave him the city which he asked, even Timnath-Serah in Mount Ephraim or Ephraim. And he built a city and dwelt therein. These are the inheritances which Eleazar the priest and Joshua the son of Nun and the heads of the fathers of the tribes of the children of Israel divided. Divided, separated, divided for an inheritance by lot in Shiloh before the Lord at the door of the tabernacle of the congregation. So they made an end of dividing the country. So dividing, you don't need a dictionary, English dictionary to get that. It might verify it. Dividing means that you're putting section here, section here, section here, this here, this here, this here. This one goes to this tribe, that one goes to this tribe, that one goes to this tribe. And so when Paul said to Timothy, rightly dividing the word of truth, that means there are some things in the Bible we put, okay, this part here is Jewish, this part maybe Gentile, this part here is church, here we go, and we figure it out. Okay, and when we do that, we're approved of God. Amen. And so that takes time, takes study. And so this is where the word dispensation comes in play, or a dispensing of something, where you're dispensing an idea. In the Old Testament, righteousness was dispensed to the individual Jew through the sacrifice of an animal or a bird. Lamb, calf. Well, today, the righteousness of God is dispensed through faith in Jesus Christ. That's why it's a better testament. So that's where we're at here. And a person believes both, but we understand which one we apply to ourselves. And then there's a dispensing with, where you're putting aside some things. That's how the word is used in the Bible, two ways, and that's how it is. So we're putting aside the righteousness dispensed through the animals, because now it's through Jesus Christ. And so I want to expand this a little further. I don't care who you talk to. Anybody who reads the Bible, they believe in some form of dispensations. They just don't want to admit it. Pride causes them not to want to admit it. They usually see maybe the fallacies of one, that they see the fallacies, but then they're going to say, well, I'm not any of it. Oh, yeah, everybody is. Nobody obeys Genesis 1 to Revelation 22. Nobody does. You can't. Okay, why? Because it's got to be rightly divided. And the Bible makes no sense if we don't do that. And people that don't do that, then they're going to generalize and disregard so much of the Bible, it's pitiful. And so that's just a fact of life. And so a lot of times you may not know what's right, but you can start with what you know is wrong. This is how, you know, a mechanic, he figures out what's wrong. He sees what's wrong with the engine. And so he fixes what he knows is wrong. And then maybe he'll go to another wrong, and that'll manifest another wrong. And then maybe that'll manifest another wrong. And then maybe then the thing starts running right. And so the same holds true with a doctor. You know, what's wrong with this person? You know, you can't fix stupid. That's one thing you can't do. And so what's wrong with this person? Well, you fix the wrong, work on the wrong, and then hopefully you get the thing right. So we're going to go on the wrong side first. People who claim they obey all the Bible. Okay, they're going to say, we believe all the Bible, I obey all the Bible. And so we're going to jump on their side of the fence. And let's see if that's true. Okay, the double-mindedness of this opposition exposes the error. James 1:8 is a universal truth where it says a double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. And then Jesus said to the Pharisees, he said, ye do err, not knowing the scriptures nor the power of God. Okay, so there is safety in that when you know something is wrong, that can help figure out what's right. And so one of the accusations against a dispensational viewpoint is they say you are picking and choosing what you want to believe, and then you throw out the other saying, well, that's for this person, that's for this person. But usually when somebody accuses you of something, that's because they're doing the same thing. They're the ones picking and choosing. I'll give you the examples. Okay, and so they're picking and choosing what they want to obey. Now, what they choose to want to believe or obey, they choose something that makes them feel superior. That's what they're choosing. They feel more intellectual, more spiritual, superior to you because you don't do what I do. And that's really the motive. It's an act of self-righteousness, to be truthful on the matter. Okay, for example, the Seventh Adventists claim to obey the Sabbath. Okay, they believe that you and I are exercising the mark of the beast by going to church on Sunday. Okay, that's what they call it. They claim to obey the Sabbath, weekly Sabbath. Do they do the annual Sabbath? Okay, do they, if somebody doesn't show up on their Saturday, do they go to their house and execute, do a little, figure it out. Why weren't you in Chernihiv? Why weren't you here? Well, we were doing such and such on the Holy Sabbath. Oh, then we're going to execute you. That's what they did in the Old Testament. They don't do that. They pick and choose. They pick this one because they think they're superior, and they're going to reject this one, and they're going to put this one on the side. Okay, another example is many in the church today, the whole woke community, what they're doing is they're taking a word and then changing the definition. I was born a male, but I think I'm a female. So they're changing the words. Now, this is actually, it has infested a church where now the church thinks they're Israel. Right. Now, the Catholic Church is the one that had, you know, the rights to it first, according to them. So they claim they're a replacement Israel. Then they had some schisms, you know. And then the Orthodox jump in on this bandwagon. No, we're Israel. You're not Israel. We're Israel. We're going to fight you over. And then, no, the Jehovah's Witnesses, now they're the new Israel. Then, oh, now the Mormons, they choose the tribe of Ephraim. They're the new Israel. And now we got some Baptists that think they're Israel. Why are they? They're practicing what the woke people do. Just change the definition of the word. Okay, now let's jump on their side of the fence and let's analyze this. Okay, if you're the new Israel, do you do the sacrifices they do in the Old Testament? No. Of course not. Because you're not the new Israel. It's just a fake. What they do is they generalize the clothing standards. Like your Amish, they've got clothing standards. They claim they're getting that, you know, from the Bible. They generalize those. But the clothing standards is there's no mixed material. No cotton, no poly. And it's got to be cotton only. It's got to be wool only. Got to be linen only. Can't be poly. It can't be a mixture. So they're picking this because it makes them look good with their black hat and your black coat and your purple shirt. You know, it makes them feel superior, more spiritual, but they ignore the other parts. Then some of these, this is usually in a Baptist community where they got clean shaven, you know, hair trimmed, but yet they don't follow the Jewish men's custom with a beard. You know, and if they're like solid, like Samson, shaggy baggy, I mean, yeah, they don't follow that. They don't choose the dietary regulations. No, man, no way. I mean, pork, yes, definitely no pork in the Old Testament, pork in the New Testament. Okay, they don't follow the dietary regulations. They meet publicly in a church building, not in a Jewish synagogue. If they're the new Israel, why aren't they meeting in a Jewish synagogue? Okay, and so it fascinates me, the double-mindedness of the people. Now, they'll emphatically state, now when you point these things about the law, they will emphatically state, we're not under the law. You've just admitted you're a dispensationalist. Thank you very much. Because that's the evidence. Okay, well then, they're going to still, oh man, they're not going to admit anything. They're going to keep going down. So we got to find something in the New Testament after Calvary that Jesus said that they can't wiggle out of. So I found something. If you would go to Mark 16. Now, I was thinking about showing you some video footage of this because it's really entertaining. You got to go down to Kentucky and Tennessee and West Virginia to find this stuff. You can get online, and man, you can get jigging with them. And they definitely, when you watch the videos of these snake handlers and they're dancing and the music is hypnotic, they definitely did not miss out on any church potlucks because all of them are, you know, pretty hefty. And when I watch these things, I'm rooting for the snake. And when they get hit, I am having an enjoyable time. And this one guy, his dad died from it, so he becomes a new pastor. That's what you don't want to be, you know, the new pastor. But here's where they use this, Mark 16. Now, these are the words of Jesus after Calvary. So we got them right where we want them as far as Mark 16, verse 15 and following. Okay, so I tell you, if you want to have some entertainment at night, just type in snake handlers and get on YouTube, and there are a bunch of funny clips. Yeah, the one I really enjoyed is when a guy got hit in the ear like this, and then blood's all over the place. And then they're carrying him out, and barfing. And then, should we go to the hospital? Should we go to the hospital? Oh, we can't go to the hospital. We should go to the hospital. He finally goes to the hospital. His face is all swelled up like this. It says here in Mark 16, it shall not hurt them. That's what it says. Mark 16, 15, Jesus said unto them, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, and he that believeth not shall be damned. These signs shall follow them that believe. In my name they shall cast out devils. They shall speak with new tongues. They shall take up serpents. And if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. And they shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. There are five things there that not one snake handling church obeys. Not all five. They don't obey all five. They don't do that. You know, the Pentecostals, the Charismatics, they'll take, cast out devils, they'll do new tongues. That's in a contemporary church. They'll do that. But that snake stuff, you got to go down to Kentucky and Tennessee and West Virginia. It's illegal in many of the states, but those states still are doing it. And I tell you, but it's funny, when they get hit, you know, they all get in the guy's house and are praying, oh God, heal him, oh God, heal him. And God in heaven said, what an idiot. And oh God, heal him. And this one dude got hit 68 times. You would have thought he had learned something along the way. And this one dude, he died. Then his son takes over the church. Then the son gets hit. Then another guy takes over the church. And it's like, this is just comical. But the music, man, you could get into the music, that's for sure. And they're jumping around like this, you know. And then they whip out the arsenic in a jug. It looks like moonshine. They drink that, and somebody's tested that, and it's got arsenic in it. Then they whip out a blowtorch, a little propane tank, and they're going... I don't see the guys doing it when they got a beer. That'd be kind of interesting. You know? And then they pass it over to this lady, and she's jumping around in a circle, and she's going like this all over. You know, just like the Indians in India where they can walk on coals. And when you see them, that is evidence of devil being possessed by devils. These are the words of Jesus after Calvary. So they got a problem here. There's a couple, husband and wife, they call themselves Jesus preachers online. So I'll throw in something just for fun. And if you don't believe all the Bible, I'm trying to tell them how to rightly divide Scripture. They don't know what to do with the snake thing. I throw the snake thing at them. And then I'll ask them, what's your address I can send the snakes to? Then I'll say, I would suggest to do non-poisonous first so you can expand your faith. And then go up to the poisonous ones. And then maybe you can go to the king cobra if we really got good faith. And they're just as silent as could be. These are the words of Jesus. These are after Calvary. Somebody's got a problem. If you don't rightly divide that, you're going to have a problem. Now, personally, I wouldn't mind going to one of these churches, you know, sit in the back. You know, if they bring out the snakes, you know, maybe have a knife on me or so. Maybe pop it a few times. It's like one guy said that he went to one of those churches and he's sitting in the back and he said, where's the back door? And they said, we don't got a back door. He said, where do you want a back door? He'd got one right through the wall. Okay? And so these people are, it shall not hurt them. This one dude, he got hit right in the finger. And he didn't go to the doctor. That finger rotted off. And his wife kept the finger because she said, I want a part of you everywhere I go. The poor guy, you know, if he got mad at something, he'd only have to give him half a bird instead of a full bird because that's the finger he lost. I'm just telling you, this is insane. And what's the answer to this passage? Rightly divide the word of truth. So what do? We look at the passage. Who's talking? Jesus. Who's he talking to? 14. The apostles. These are apostolic signs. If you go to the Acts of the Apostles, the fifth book of the New Testament is called the Acts of the Apostles. A lot of these things happened. In Acts 28, Paul was putting a fire together and a snake came out and hit him. He didn't swell up. It did not hurt him. Why? He's an apostle. And after Acts 8:28, later on, Paul wrote, man, I'm sick. I've been sick as a dog. Why didn't he heal himself? Because those signs left and are put on hold. Now, God's going to pick them up again in the tribulation time period because God's dealing with Israel. So the Israelites in the tribulation will be able to drink wormwood and it will not hurt them. Okay, so it's been put on hold as far as this goes. So this is an apostolic sign to the apostles by Jesus Christ. And it's not anybody down in Kentucky, Tennessee, or West Virginia. They do not obey these. People do not obey all the words. Didn't Jesus say, if your hand offends you and your eye offends you, did he not say, they don't obey that. You say, what's that about? Probably the millennium. If I'm going to put it someplace, it'd have to be the millennium. They do not see God in one of the Beatitudes, blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Okay, and I could easily say, none of us have seen God. Does that mean we're not pure in heart? The devil sees God. Does that mean he's pure in heart? There's got to be a time period where a person can see God who's pure in their heart, and the devil can't see God, and that's the millennium. I mean, when you get the piece of this puzzle put together, the Bible is a fascinating book. It's just fascinating as far as this goes. Okay, and so the snake handler, here's what the snake handlers say. When they get doing the snake stuff, they say, man, that's a high. And then they say they never felt closer to God more than anything. Yeah, the God of this world. And that's the trick on that. And if you observe some of those, you will see a manifestation of demon possession to its highest because the music is hypnotic. It hypnotizes them. It hypnotizes the snakes. But once in a while, a snake comes through and hits them. And it's about like, will you wake up? Learn how to rightly divide scripture and you can avoid a lot of problems. Okay, so the second thought is this. Jesus Christ is the one who established the divisions between the first and second coming. So he started it in Luke chapter 4 where he revealed that there's a gap of some form of gap between the first and second coming in Luke 4:16-21. I've gone through that before. Now Paul has extended the idea of division. He extended it out to Timothy where he says, rightly divide the word of truth. Then he says, study to show thyself approved. If a person wants to be approved by God, approved of God, then we must study. And in our study, we recognize, oh, the Mark 16, yeah, Jesus, okay, he's talking to the apostle, okay, yeah, that 16, I believe it is baptized, that's probably Acts 2:38, you probably put those together, yeah, and then you run over here, okay, I can see how that goes, and it works perfectly. It's just, the Bible's a masterful book. I wasn't taught these things in school. I wasn't taught these things at Grace College or Hiles Ayers. I wasn't taught any of this stuff. And I didn't, when I was in Colorado and I'm going door to door and trying to talk to these people. Now, generally, what they taught us is when people ask a question, don't answer it. Just keep with the gospel. It's like, why don't you talk to them? And so these Pentecostals and Charismatics were throwing at me Hebrews 3, Hebrews 4, Acts 2:38, Hebrews 10. And I did not know what was right, but I knew something was wrong. I didn't know the answer. And so it went on for quite a while. I said, I know that ain't right, but what's the answer? And then I came across a commentary by Peter S. Ruckman on Hebrews, and I read through that thing, and I'm having a Baptist-costal fit by myself. That's the answer. I've been looking for that for so long. Man, I've been rejoicing in that ever since. And I tell some of those fellows, that's the first commentary I read. They said, I got to be crazy to read that one first. That's the first one. That was such a blessing to me because the book just opened up. Rightly dividing the word of truth. Proper divisions. Acts 2:20, it says that Jesus was approved of God. Acts 2:22. And in Philippians, it said we ought to try to figure things out that are approved of God. So what is dividing? Rightly dividing. It's a separating. It's a distributing of something here, something there. Four divided by two is two. That's rightly dividing. Four divided by two equals nine. That's wrongly dividing. And so there's a right way to do things and a wrong way to do things. And it's setting a dividing line. Now here's where people have a difficult time with it. Okay, the first time divide shows up in the Bible is in Genesis 1:4. God divided the light from the darkness. And then in Genesis 1:14, he divided the day from the night. But when the day transitions to night at dusk, or when the night transitions to day at dawn, that's where it's kind of difficult to figure it out. When the day and night are fully manifested, then we begin to understand. And we understand that during that transition from day to night and night to day, this is where people are hanging about in their Bible, as far as an analogy, and they're confused. Wait till it manifests itself. And Paul will manifest itself. So when you're reading through the Bible, you see Genesis, Malachi, Old Testament. Everybody agrees with that. You got that. That's part of that's under the Jewish law. Okay, got that figured out. We're not under the law. Okay, we're in agreement right there. What is this Matthew, though? This Matthew is like dusk and dawn. It's a transition from the Old Testament to the New Testament. Now, most of Matthew operates under the Old Testament. When did the New Testament start? At the death of Jesus Christ. So it's like that dawn and dusk time, that transition time. And then when you read Matthew, Mark, and Luke, and they pretty much parallel. John is uniquely different, but it's still one of the Gospels. And then you got this book of Acts. And it's not the Acts of Christians. The title is the Acts of the Apostles. So when you read through the book of Acts, you'll see, well, Peter's the main character here. And then this guy named Saul shows up about 9. And then his name Paul. And then Peter, last time we see Peter's Acts 15. That's the last time we see Peter. And from then on out, it's all Paul. So there's a common saying, you rob Peter to pay Paul. He did that in Acts. Now, Peter is an apostle of circumcision, so at the beginning of Acts, Jerusalem is the main focal point. But then when you get to Acts 11, this Antioch thing shows up, where they're first called Christians. And then Acts 13, Antioch again. Whoa, we got a transition from Jerusalem to Antioch. And then you have Israel at the beginning, Israel's the main thing, Feast of Pentecost, but then it becomes church on a Sunday, Acts chapter 20. What is that? It's a transition. Acts transitions, five different things coming through there. And you see, that's the problem. Now you get into daylight for this church, Romans. First and second Corinthians, man, daylight is manifested. Light's on. Then you get to Philemon, and then Hebrews. What is this? Hebrews. Now we're going back into dusk and Hebrews. It didn't say Jewish Christian. It says Hebrews. Why do we got this Hebrews? It's because God has some unfinished business with the Hebrews in the Old Testament. He got another kind of a 7-year period or approximate thereof. And so Hebrews is a transition from the church back to the Hebrews. Those are our three transition books, Matthew, Acts, and Hebrews. And these folks that don't like the idea of dispensations, you know where they're going to run for their scripture? Matthew 5, 6, and 7, Matthew 24, Matthew 25, Acts 2, that's where they're going to run. And they're going to Hebrews 3, Hebrews 4, Hebrews 6, Hebrews 10, and for icing on the cake, they'll throw in James 2. That's where they go. They go in that area where it's transitioning. Why don't they come out into the light? Man, the light's beautiful. Come on in. The water's fine. You see, how I know this is absolutely true is one is by the double-mindedness of that other side. Absolute double-mindedness. You don't know where they're going to come and go in these things. But when we get to the daylight in this passage, Jesus and Paul set it up. Proverbs 15:28 says, "The righteous studieth to answer." Study to show thyself approved. You see, the flesh and blood word of God, Jesus Christ, said in Luke 12:51, "Think that I've come to send peace on earth? Nay, but rather division." Hebrews 4, verse 12, the Bible talks about dividing your soul and spirit from the joints and the marrow. Both the flesh and blood word of God, Jesus Christ, paper and ink word of God, sets up proper divisions. I mean, it's just set up as pretty as could be. And so when we recognize that somebody's trying to confuse us on these divisions in Romans chapter 6:16, verse 17, he said this, "Now I beseech you, brethren, mark them which cause divisions and offenses contrary to the doctrine which ye have learned, and avoid them." They're causing the wrong divisions, is what they're doing. They're causing divisions where we are to be in a unity of the faith. So what's the unity of the faith? We figure it out in 2 Timothy. Study to show thyself. We recognize that the Bible is a letter that's written for all of us. But we also recognize that there are parts of it that's not written to us. To a Jew, to a Gentile. Now there are some parts of the Bible that are universal. A double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. That's James 1:8. But that's a universal truth that goes through all ages. So it's just a matter of dealing with the Bible honestly. If you would look in 2 Corinthians chapter 4. So he said here, "Therefore, seeing we have this ministry," 2 Corinthians 4, "therefore, seeing we have this ministry, as we've received, we faint not, but have renounced the hidden things of dishonesty, not walking in craftiness, nor handling the word of God deceitfully." Look at that. Somebody handles the word of God deceitfully. And they're crafty. Oh, wow, we got to watch out for that. Look if you would in Ephesians 4. Ephesians 4, verse 12. He says, for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. So if you take those three words, perfecting, work, edifying, you can jumble them around. You get the pew out of there. P-E-W, not pew as in stinky pew. P-E-W, perfecting, edifying, work. So why are we here? Till we all come into unity of the faith. It's voluntary. Unity of the faith, of the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we henceforth be no more children tossed to and fro and carried about by every wind of doctrine. You see, by the sleight of man and cunning craftiness whereby they lie in wait to deceive. We believe all the Bible. Those dispensationalists, they don't believe all the Bible. We believe all the Bible. Well, I believe all the Bible. Now, you need to get your wording right. I believe all the Bible, but I recognize that we got to rightly divide the word of truth, too. Oh, you're just picking and choosing what you want to believe. Oh, that's why you take the Sabbath, the weekly Sabbath, but not the annual Sabbath. That's why you don't have the execution of somebody violating the Sabbath. Oh, that's why you don't do the dietary regulations of the old. We're not under the law. Oh, that's right. You're right. Praise the Lord. We're in agreement there. Hey, we're in agreement. I'll give you a cookie over that thing. Man, we're happy for you. But how about this handling this snake things? That's the words of Jesus. It's after Calvary. How about that? Come on, let's go get it. I brought a snake to church one time. One time I was working a garden down at Rensselaer Tuck, you know, on Buncombe Road, playing around in a garden, and a thought came flying through my head, you need a snake. And I thought, whoa, where did that come from? I don't need no snake. And it wasn't 5 minutes. My neighbor came over. He said, I got a snake in my front yard. I know what to do with it. I thought, was that the Lord saying that? So I went over and got the snake, put it in a bucket. Fortunately, it was a garter snake. It wasn't a poisonous thing. And I thought, I'm going to use that on Sunday morning. Now, I made it sure it was cold. That snake was cold. And then I went to Proverbs 5 where it talks about the cords of sin. And I grabbed that snake and that thing wrapped right around my arm, pretty as could be. And I said, that's what sin does. It's the cords of sin. Now, it was a cold snake, so I wasn't worried about it. And it was non-poisonous. So I be a snake handler also. I believe all the words of Jesus. But I ain't drinking any arsenic, that's for sure. And I'm not going to take a propane torch and get a suntan on my chin. But you see, these people just... The devil is a master of using this sword to deceive. He's a master of that. And that's how he deceived Eve. He just added a word or subtracted a word or changed a word. He tried that with Jesus, and then Jesus established rightly dividing the word of truth. So we've got what we need. Just as pretty as could be. This book is a masterful book. Just a minute, you got to sit back and look at that and say, whoa, I better be careful how I handle that sharp two-edged sword. But my desire is be approved of God. When you're approved of God, and when somebody asks you a question and you give the right answer, if you would go to Proverbs 23. Yeah, this is Old Testament. Like I said, some things are universal. Proverbs 23. When somebody asks you a Bible question and you just point them to the Bible and you give the right answer, there's a God that sees His Son. Spend some time in His Word. Proverbs 23, verse 15, He says this, my son, if thine heart be wise, my heart shall rejoice, even mine. Yea, my reins shall rejoice when thy lips speak right things. When we do the right thing, there's a Spirit of God. He's right there. He's probably the one who gave us the words. And he said, boy, I like that. That makes me happy. Somebody takes my book seriously. Somebody spent some time in it. And they want to give the right answer to encourage somebody to do the right thing because a righteous studieth the answer. And we can be a blessing to God. Is that what we want to be, a blessing to God? And we're blessed of God when we study to show ourselves approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Okay, let's pray. Lord, I do pray you'd help us to grasp this idea. And I pray that you'd help us to be encouraging to others and patient with them and trying to figure these things out. And a lot of times they're kind of looking in the, you know, the dawn, early dawn morning time where it's still dark out, yet kind of getting into the sun where it's coming up. And Lord, I just pray that you'd help us to see, help us to be people that when we read our Bible, that we do read it dispensationally. We're honest about it. And we don't add a word. We don't subtract a word. We don't change a word. We follow the Lord's leading in rightly dividing first coming, second coming. We follow Paul's leading under the Lord's leading of rightly dividing doctrine, being solid in our truths to understand your words better. In Jesus' holy name I pray. Amen.